In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, on this is an anniversary day, 123 years ago today, Louisa began her writings. And when you read in the calendar, the very first day she wrote, she really got into it. She was really, you know, very happy to do this, but again, afraid because she didn't want anybody to know about her. She was very humble, very little. And she just said, this is an intimacy between you, Jesus, and me. And the spiritual director, her confessor, said, write everything down. I want to know what's going on. And it's volume two that she started, because once volume two was done, her spiritual advisor, her spiritual director basically said, how did you get to this point? How did you get to the spirituality? And that's when she wrote volume one. So volume one is basically, how did you get here, Louisa? And she writes by it. That's why there's really no dates on in volume one. It was written after volume two, but chronologically it was the first. So we read volume one, and it's a hard book to read because God crushes Louisa. He says basically, you're going to be the model that I'm going to use for humanity, and I'm going to reform you, reshape you. And this is her suffering. This is why Jesus crucified her every day. She was crucified every day by Jesus. And this is the crushing. And a lot of people read volume one and they go, thank you, but no, thank you. If this is what we have to go through, I'm not going to go through it. But we didn't. We don't have to do this. This is what Louisa did. This is what our God gave to her to accomplish. And she has accomplished it. And now, because of what Jesus told her, what she wrote in the Book of Heaven, now we read this, we study this, and we begin to understand what the Lord is asking of us today. And this is why we're on page 55 if you're in the book. And it's volume 25, January 13th, 1929. The Prophets, this is the title, The Prophets, How the Kingdom of Redemption that of the fiat holds hands. So with the Old Testament, with the New Testament, with now Jesus calls this Testament of the Kingdom, everything holds hands. The necessity of it regards the kingdom of the divine will be known. Jesus keeps on telling Louisa this. He says, I've revealed this to no one about sanctification. It's not about redemption. It's about sanctification. And he says very clearly, what I'm telling you, he says, I'm going to give to the world. I finally found a soul, a human born of original sin, that can now possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So she says, I was continuing to make my round in the acts of the divine fiat. Okay, so this is the prayer life that Jesus taught Louisa. He says, this is how he prayed. This is how his mother prayed. They prayed the rounds. This is how Adam prayed before the fall, to see God in all of creation, to experience the divine I love yous in every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water. It's filled with these divine I love yous. And Jesus says to Louisa, he says, people don't recognize the divine I love you that God breathed in all of creation. And he says, because they're not in that life, that true life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve yet. So he says, this is what I'm going to teach you. So she's already learned how to pray her round in creation and pray her round in redemption, because everything in creation is I love you and an I love you from God. But what redemption brought about is the I love you of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the suffering that they went through. And Jesus says, when we enter into the round of creation, we see the divine I love you. The creation tells us of the I love you of God. We see beautiful sunsets, and that's basically where people end. This is really pretty. Or there's the stars at night. Man, this is magnificent. But what is going to happen in the divine will is we're going to begin to understand this I love you in all of creation and in all of redemption. So she said she was continuing to make her round, pray her round in the acts of the fiat. And as I reached the point in which I would accompany the prophets when the divine will manifested itself to them, and how and when the coming of the future redeemer. So here she's going back to the prophets, to the kings of the Old Testament. And she says the divine will was manifesting itself to them of how and when the coming of the future redeemer was going to take place. That's why when the wise men went to Herod, they said, where's the king going to be born? And they said, Bethlehem. They knew this, that future Messiah was promised, and they knew where he was going to come. And he says, and the prophets longed for him. They longed for the Messiah with tears and with prayers and with penances. And then she says, what Jesus taught her is to make everything that the prophets longed for her own. Now, why would you do this? This is the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, and kindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's what's coming, this renewal, this regeneration that's going to happen. So she says, What the prophets went through, their tears, their prayers, their penances, and everything that they did, she says, Jesus taught her to make it her own. Why? Because Jesus taught her how to do this in the divine will. And the prophets knew how to do this in a holy, saintly, human way, not in the way that we pray for every day at Holy Mass by putting the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. That sharing in divinity wasn't there because of the redemption hasn't taken place. They were waiting for this promised Messiah. So she said she made everything that they went through her own to repair, to redo. And this is what we do every day in repairing and redoing. We go through all of creation. God will show us things that is happening throughout the world for us to repair it, as if it never happened. This is what God taught Louisa. So she says, because all of this were the fruits of the eternal fiat, and I, Louisa, offered it in order to impetrate, to pray, to beg that its kingdom come upon earth. So what is she doing? With the Blessed Mother, because the Blessed Mother did this, she lived in the divine will, she prayed and renewed everything so that the future Messiah would be born. And because of her fiat, Our Lady's fiat, the kingdom happened, the kingdom of redemption happened. Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to do everything my mother did. I want you to do everything that I did. I want you to do everything that the prophets and the kings and the judges did. I want you to repair it and redo it as if they did this, as if Adam never sinned. So with this impetration, the impetrating the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, while I was doing this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior. So Jesus says this often to us to make us aware that Jesus reigned in the interior of Louisa. She offered to Jesus her heart, which became his throne. And that's what's going to happen with us. We're going to learn how not only consecrating ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, but in a new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II is coming upon the earth. And Jesus moving in my interior told me, my daughter, when a good is universal and must and can bring good to everyone, it is necessary that entire peoples, if not everyone, a great part, know the good that they must receive And with prayers, sighs, and desires and works, they impetrate, they beg for this good so great, in such a way that first the good they want is conceived in their minds. Okay, so with the three powers that God gave us, our intellect, memory, and will, the first part has to be, we have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. That's why we have our dogma and doctrine. We begin to learn things from God's point of view. Like Humani Vitae, for example. Humani Vitae was the test that we got in the 60s, and unfortunately, we failed. And what did Pope Paul VI say? He said, if contraception happens, if birth control happens, and this is part of life, abortion will be legalized, euthanasia will be legalized. So what did we just experience with the last 2 years? Basically, this tragedy of the dying all around us at ages that shouldn't happen. So what's happening now is we're receiving the consequences of not thinking with the mind of Christ, not being open to life. And this is what Jesus says. He says, to know the good they must receive with prayers, sighs, and desires and works, they impetrate a good so great in such a way that first the good that they want is conceived in their minds. So as we read the book of heaven, Jesus says, I want you to begin to live heaven. As we read the book of heaven, Jesus says, I rose from the dead so that you would rise from the dead before you die. And what does that mean? To begin to live the life of peace, joy, and happiness. There's no worries, there's no fears, there's no anxieties, there's no complaints, there's no negativities, to the point of there will be no sin. This is what God has planned. And what he's asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life of heaven, peace, joy, and happiness. So what's happening today is a lot of people are afraid. There's a lot of doom and gloom out there. Oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen, quite possibly. But there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus says, I want you to rise from the dead now. I want you to live in the divine will now. I want you to live heaven now before you die. He says, if you're waiting for heaven after you die, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory. But if you're dying to your ego and your will now, if you're dying to your human will, what happens at that point is we will enter a life of heaven while we are alive on earth. And this is what's so great. So it's conceived in our minds first, sighs, desires, works, and even in our hearts. And then is the good that they long for given to them in reality. So God is going to do this in reality through the Blessed Mother. This is what happened. It's the same thing now. He says with this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is going to happen. He says, but I need my people to begin to know this, why and how it's going to come, and live it. This is the joy of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Happiness. It is such a joy-filled time. When we were at Rome City, Indiana, in August, the priests and the people were just having a lot of fun. It was so, and one priest said, I never realized, the happiness, between lay people and priests. I never experienced the happiness, the joy. This abundant life is beginning for souls who want it, who know about it. Jesus says, the more that you learn about this, the more you can live it. So Jesus says this, when a good that must be received is universal, Catholic, it takes the strength of the people to impetrate it, to beg for it, to plead for it. On the other hand, when it is individual or local, one can be enough to obtain the intent. So what the saints have done up to this point, like St. Francis, St. Benedict, St. Dominic, they said, this is how I want to live. And people would join them and say, we want to learn how to love God the way you love God. You're so close to God. We want to do this. And so they follow it. And Jesus says, what's coming is so powerful. What's coming is such divine happiness that we're going to live this life that Adam and Eve were supposed to live. This new beginning for humanity is going to come upon the earth, where everyone will live this universal life. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The dream of Jesus is going to come true, he says. And this is what's happening. He says, therefore, before coming upon earth and being conceived in the womb of the sovereign queen of heaven, I can say that I was conceived in the minds of the prophets, and I confirmed and gave value to this sort of conception in them through my manifestations of when and how I, Jesus, was to come upon earth in order to redeem mankind. So the divine will was reigning there in the minds of the prophets and the holy men and women of the Old Testament. And the prophets, the faithful executors of my manifestations, acted as trumpeters, manifesting to the peoples in their words that which I had manifested about my coming upon earth, and conceiving me in their words. See, it's Jesus is showing us the power of word. That's why scripture says we will be judged for every idle word that we say. The word is powerful. And when a word is spoken in anger, it kills, it hurts, it destroys. And this is one of the things God is going to show us is when we lose our temper, when we get angry with people, when we become impatient with people, when we have no need to be around, you know, people, what happens at that point? Jesus says, you're doing this to me. And what happens is he's healing our imperfections, our human inadequacies. The Lord is teaching us. He's leading us. He's guiding us in a way that will really astonish each and every person who reads the book of heaven, because it says, I manifested about my coming upon earth, and conceiving me in their words, they made the news that the word wanted to come upon earth, and it flew from mouth to mouth. And by this, not only was I conceived in the word of the prophets, but I remained conceived also in the word of the people. See, that's what's happening with the book of heaven. Jesus has spoken these words to Louisa, and he says, when he hears souls read this, he says he says he goes into ecstasy. Why? He's hearing his word being spoken again. When the gospels are proclaimed, you know, every day at Holy Mass, Jesus says he says everything's being fulfilled as that word is spoken. And then the people bring this word back to their family. And they're back to their families, and they speak of this word of what God has spoken to his people, bringing to life their children in the faith. He says very clearly, this is spoken in such a way that all talked about it, all prayed, and all longed for the future Redeemer. And when the news of my coming upon earth was diffused among the peoples, and almost an entire people, the Hebrews, with the prophets at the head of it, prayed and longed for with tears and penances, only then, being as though conceived in their will, in their human will, they longed for God. They desired God. I, God, let the Queen of heaven and earth come to life, in whom I, God, was to conceive in reality. And so as to make my entrance into a people who had been longing for me, and desiring me for 40 centuries. What a crime would the prophets have not committed had they concealed, hidden within themselves, my manifestations about my coming. So here Jesus says, if they were silent, if they didn't proclaim this to the people, the Messiah is coming, get ready for the Messiah. Jesus says it would have been a great crime. They would have prevented my conception in the minds and in the prayers and in the words and works of the people. a necessary condition for God being able to concede a universal good was that my coming upon the earth had to be proclaimed. Now, my daughter, the kingdom of redemption and the kingdom of my divine fiat, that's where we are right now. The kingdom of the divine fiat is close. John Paul II, I mean, when he said, get ready for the third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind, the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding him so that this would happen. Okay. And so the kingdom of my divine fiat and the kingdom of redemption hold hands, since it is also a universal good, such that if souls want it so, listen to this, all can enter into the divine fiat. And it is necessary that many know the news about it, and that it will be conceived in the minds and in the words, in the works, in the hearts of many, so that through prayers, desires, and a holier way of life, they may dispose themselves to receive the kingdom of my divine will into their midst. It's coming. And Jesus says, I want you to get ready for what I am going to do. He's revealing to us the sanctification of mankind. Everything that the saints prayed for, everything that the thing that the saints longed for is here. It's begun. And that's why everything seems to be falling apart. It's not falling apart. God's getting everything in order. And he's saying to each person, what do you want? The kingdom is coming. Do you want the kingdom or do you want your misery? What do you want? Jesus keeps on saying to us. This is divine justice. God has to give to the world what each person wants. He has to do it. He gave hell to the devil. The devil wanted hell. He didn't want God, didn't want heaven. So God gave that to the evil one. And now what's happening, it's the same thing. Look at all around us. Who is really happy? Who is really happy? Who is knowing what's going on all around? Peaceful, joyful, happy. It's the little children of the Holy Divine Will. And people say, don't you know what's going on? Why are you joyful? Don't you know what's going on? Yes, the kingdom's coming. And God is giving to everyone what they want. And we're praying that everybody want the kingdom. That's our job. Getting everybody ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. Jesus has got this all planned, and he's asking us to be the proclaimers of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, to live the resurrected life now before we die. Jesus says this, if the news is not divulged, my manifestations shall not act as trumpeters, nor shall the knowledges about my divine fiat fly from mouth to mouth, forming the conception of it in the minds, in the prayers, in the sighs, in the desires of the creatures. So what Jesus is saying, as we enter into the manifestation, these truths, these secrets, these lessons of Jesus, we're getting ready to learn how and why we have to live in the kingdom now. Why nothing of the earth is essential. Okay. What's essential is the kingdom. And as we begin to live the kingdom, that's what scripture says, have the kingdom first and everything else will fall into place. Everything is going to fall into place. The priority of our life is to live for heaven on earth, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And this is what Jesus is teaching us. So he says, my manifestations will act as trumpeters. And if the knowledges of my divine fiat are here, it will fly from mouth to mouth, forming the conception of the divine will in the minds and the prayers and the sighs of the creatures. And my divine will if this isn't done, my divine will shall not make its triumphal entrance, the coming of the reign upon earth. How necessary is it that the knowledges about my fiat be known? How necessary, Jesus says, that these truths, these secrets be revealed. And again, everything is secret. We have the greatest secret on earth, you know, in every Catholic church with that candle lit next to the tabernacle. Jesus is there. Yet the churches are empty. Jesus is there. It's a great secret. Another secret is Our Lady says, pray the rosary, wear the scapular, attend First Saturdays. It's a secret. Catholics know it, but they don't do it. They're into other things. So Jesus says to us, would you be the ones to begin to live this abundant life so that I, God, he says, can give it to all of humanity? Would you take their place? So Jesus explains to Louisa that Moses took the place of the Israelites. And basically the Israelites were allowed to survive. Jesus is saying that to us. He says he knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. He said to Louisa once, he says, they're trying to kill and destroy my church. And he says, they're trying to kill all of humanity. That's what Jesus told Louisa. He says, Louisa, let them do that. You and I, he says, let's bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven to stop all of this madness. It's Jesus that's going to do it. And God has to say to every person, what do you want? It's a great time to be alive. Jesus says this. He says, how necessary it is that the knowledge is about my fiat be known. And not only this, but that it be made known that my divine will already wants to come to reign on earth as it is in heaven, into the midst of creatures. So as you read, now this is the most beautiful thing. As you read and study what Jesus taught Louisa, as you begin to do this, when you're in your family, you're saying to Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening. I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's the rounds. That shows you a little bit about the rounds. But what happens at that point, who's there? Are you there causing trouble in your family, or is Jesus there? See, Jesus, he's going to show us how he lived. And we're going to discipline ourselves to live the way Jesus lived in his holy humanity. It's the same thing with Mary. We begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is what's so amazing about this gift. What God is doing is astonishing. So the divine will is in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your coworkers, in the midst of the parish. Jesus is there. And what happens is there's no more arguments. There's no more impatience. Why? Jesus is teaching us how to live his life. The image and likeness. See, the book of heaven brings the likeness. Through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now Jesus says, now is the time for us to learn how to enter into his likeness. When this happens, heaven is here. When we're learning little by little, nobody's perfect and everybody makes mistakes. We have to go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. I don't want to live like this. That's our human will. Jesus says, use your free will to choose. Do you want to continue to live like this? Or do you want to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary? This is a really glorious time to be alive. The power and the glory of God is going to reveal this to humanity. And what does scripture say? Scripture says, what we are now is children of God. What we will become, we do not know. But what we do know is we will become like him because we will see him as he is. That's what's coming. It's not 1,000 years from now. Jesus says, what I've given you to write down, Louisa, is for humanity now. And the evil one is ticked. He's really annoyed because he sees when he fooled Eve when he fooled, lied to Adam and Eve, tricked them, he thought he won. And when Jesus and Mary came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve, they were here for a short time. No big deal. Yeah, he thinks he's going to beat God. But when Louisa showed up, see, this is the thing. When Louisa showed up, he realized here is a human born of original sin who's beginning to live the true life of Jesus and Mary. He realizes now what Louisa has put down in this book of heaven, others are learning how to live this life. He's panicking. He had his 100 years. Now it's Jesus's turn to reign. And the kingdom is coming. Great things are happening. Our Lord has got this all planned. And he asks us, he pleads with us, are you willing to live this abundant life that I'm going to give to humanity? Are you willing to live this for all of humanity, to bring all of humanity to me? God's going to win. So this is what happens. And it is to the priests, as to the new prophets, through the word, as well as through the writings and through the works, that the task of giving and acting as trumpeters in order to make known what regards my divine fiat. See, Jesus calls the divine will the sacrament of sacraments. And it's for the priests to give this to the laity. The shepherds are to feed the sheep. The third bread, he says there's three breads. The third bread is your wonder bread, which the Father basically goes out to work to bring money in to feed his children. The priests at Holy Mass, at the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, feeds the people. And it's for 15 minutes that the host is Jesus is with us mystically in the host until the host dissolves. Now Jesus says, I'm going to prepare my people to receive a perennial communion with God that will never end. We, as Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, he says, I'm ready. Now I've taught my church to honor me, to love me in the Holy Eucharist. And now he says, I'm ready to give it to humanity. This is what's coming. It's a new beginning. And this is why the priests, as the new prophets, through their word, as well as through writings, through the works, that the task given by God to the priests are going to act as trumpeters, the shofar, in order to make known what regards my divine fiat, nor would their crime be lesser than the prophets had the prophets hidden my redemption. If the priests do not occupy themselves as much as they can with what regards to my most holy divine will. Jesus says through Louisa in the three appeals, Louisa says, you priests are feeding the people with a hard and almost stale bread. She says, it's hard to digest. It's hard to listen. It's hard to follow. Louisa says, if you read the divine will, he says, you will be feeding them the first bread. And they will nourish themselves with this bread so much that they will follow your lead. We're not Protestants. The priesthood is needed. And Jesus says he is going to bring the priesthood to what he has wanted from the beginning. And this is going to be glorious, what he's going to do. So here he's saying to us, the priests, he says, they themselves, okay, would be the cause of a good so great being neither known nor received by creatures if they don't begin to live this, if they don't begin to know this. He says, and to suffocate the kingdom of my divine will, to keep it suspended, a good so great that there is no other similar to it. There is nothing similar to this. Perhaps is that not a crime? So Jesus is saying to the priests, wait till you see what I'm going to do. Jesus tells Louisa about these miracles that are going to come through the priesthood. unheard of prodigies. Now, I remember the first time I saw someone possessed, I think I was ordained maybe 7 years, maybe 7 years. And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't taught anything about possession. And this Franciscan came in and touched this woman, and she turned human. And I went, what is this? Where did he get this power? What does he know that I don't know? And that's when I really started studying this new and divine way of holiness that even Padre Pio said about Luisa. He said, Luisa is a second sun, S-U-N, in the sky. As the sun goes down in the west, a new sun comes up in the east. There's no more darkness. This is what Padre Pio said about Luisa. There's no more darkness. And he says, the world of the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta in the divine will in the third millennium. When you think about this focusing, you know, I mean, if you've ever gone hunting and you look through a scope, that's focused. You're looking at one thing. And he says, the church in the world is going to do this with Luisa. Because Jesus says he is going to make Luisa known to the world. Okay. What the priests are going to be doing is because everybody's going to become Catholic. Everybody's going to focus like, what is this about? What is this kingdom of the divine will about? I mean, what is this? And that's when the priests, as Jesus says here, will be the trumpeters to make known what regards my divine fiat. It's the priesthood that does this. And we haven't seen anything yet. And Jesus says he's going to start with his priests first to purify the church, and then he's going to purify the world. He says, this gift is so beautiful. He says, it's so perfect. It's so loving that the world and the church are not ready for this. So he says, there's going to be purification. And good. I mean, what we need is we need to have the wedding dress of the bride purified, cleaned, ironed, stained free. That's what God is doing with his bride. So what Jesus is saying here is so great. Therefore, I recommend to you, and he's saying this to the priests, on your part, do not omit anything. He says this as Luis is writing, and he says this to us who are reading. When I hear the word writing, Jesus is saying, Luisa, this is what you're to write. And then he says to us, this is what you're to read. So don't omit anything, and pray for those who must occupy themselves. This is the priests with making known a good so great. We haven't seen anything yet. The miracles that are going to come through the priesthood are going to astonish the world. And it's not the priest. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, Alter Christus. It's the priest who is going to bring this about with their fiat. And as they proclaim this gift, as they learn about this gift, everything changes. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. That he's hinting at something that is, I mean, think about it. The greatest palaces that we've ever been in, the greatest basilicas, churches that we've ever been in are nothing compared to what God is bringing. He's bringing the new Jerusalem. He's bringing the new heavens and the new earth. He's teaching us how to see God and live. Scripture says, no man can see God and live. We do when we go to the Blessed Sacrament. That's God in the monstrance. Our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. And what's great is every time we go, Jesus says, every time you go to the Blessed Sacrament, your place in heaven gets higher, your time in purgatory gets shorter. What happens is, you're falling in love with God. This is the life that Adam had. He was in love with the one who created him. And that's what's happening now. This God is going to bring this about. So he says this. This is, again, very, very important. Then he added with a more tender and afflicted tone, my daughter, this was the purpose for which I permitted the necessity of the coming of the priest, that you, Louisa, might deposit in the priests as a sacred deposit all the truths that I have spoken to you about my divine fiat, and that they be attentive and the faithful executioners of what I, God, want. Wait till you see what's coming. This is so beautiful. Be certain that I would not have permitted their coming if not for the purpose of fulfilling my great design over the destiny of the human family. That reminds me, this coming Friday is the 75th anniversary of the death of Louisa, her entrance into heaven. And we've got some talks at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, 7 o'clock on Friday night, and 9, 10, and 11 on Saturday. And that's how we start it. We start this talk of who Louisa is, why she's important to the church and to the world. And this is what Jesus says. He says, the purpose of the fulfilling of my great designs over the destiny of the human family. God has plans, and God is going to win. There's no question. And he's asking us to be alive at this time. He's predestined us to live at this time. He didn't give this book to the saints. They learned how to do the will of God. Jesus is asking us how to live in the will of God. This is so glorious. It's such a wonderful time. And this is why Jesus is getting us ready. He says, it's the destiny of the human family, what's coming. And just as the kingdom of redemption, I left my mother and queen in the midst of the apostles so that together with her, helped and guided by the Blessed Mother, they may give a start to the kingdom of redemption. Because the sovereign queen of heaven knew more than all the apostles. Our Lady was most interested, it can be said, that she kept it formed within her maternal heart, and therefore she could very well instruct the apostles in their doubts, in a way, in circumstances. She, Mary, was the true son, S-U-N, in their midst. Now remember, Padre Pio said, Louisa is a second son that's coming. Everything's going to be Catholic. We're going to have the universal life that Adam lost. Jesus redeemed us so that we will be sanctified. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for this. So he says this. He says, Our Lady was the true son in their midst, and one word of the Blessed Mother was enough for my apostles to feel strong, illuminated, and fortified. In the same way, for the kingdom of my divine fiat, having placed you, Louisa, as the deposit of the divine will, I keep you in exile still, so that the priests might draw from you, as from a new mother, what can serve as light, as guidance, as help to give start to making known the kingdom of my divine will. And as I see their little interest, if you knew how much I suffer, therefore pray. Jesus has got great plans for the priesthood, great plans for his priests. We haven't seen anything yet. And God is going to do this. And he says to Louisa, get ready. And we'll get into that next week. But great things are right around the corner. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the little children of the holy divine will to be divinely healed. Then we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.